17, we'd like to welcome you all to the Relationships and 12 Traditions presentation. If we can all take a moment to silence or put our phones on vibrate. Okay, let's open this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
All righty. I just wanted to do a little bit of housekeeping here. There is a love offering jar, so for those who have not had the opportunity to donate, it will be where the food is going to be set up, and all proceeds go to Intergroup 17 for Marion County. And I have the privilege of introducing Ron and TJ. They travel all around the country to do this presentation. I actually met them at another presentation, Back to Basics. That might be something to think about in the future for bringing those out. Just throwing that out there. It's all about, one group at a time to improve their daily lives through the use of 12 traditions. And it's not just for romantic, of course, as we put on the flyer. And it is my honor and I am thrilled to be able to hear them again because they have a powerful message. And as soon as I saw them, I remembered them from the Back to Basics. They were very powerful. And I'd like to introduce Ron.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Ron. We're not familiar with the sound system. We really can't hear how you hear out there. So if somebody in the back does not hear us, just do something like that. And we'll try to raise our voice. But I am an alcoholic, and we're going to quickly qualify ourselves and let you know that we're alcoholics.
Aww.
We are so happy to be here. Thank you to Gail, to Lynn. So I'm going to turn it back over to TJ. He's going to kind of give you an overview of what we're going to do, and then we'll jump into our program, okay?
Thank you.
So, relationships in recovery. Right? Our big book tells us that relationships, we don't do them very well, do we?
No.
It's one of the hardest things that we do. But just as the steps are how it works, the traditions in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous are why it works, right? So it's just the same thing with our relationships. When we practice the principles and the traditions and the spiritual principles that go along with those traditions in our relationships tend to work out better. So just as in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, there's a how of the program, right? They tell us to be open, honest, open-minded, and willing. And that's what we're going to ask you to do today here as well. Let me ask just by a quick show of hands, how many of you here today are with your partner in a relationship? So a couple ground rules for those of you who are with your partner, right? So if there's something that you hear that maybe your partner may or may not do, right? We ask that you don't do things like this. Hey. We look at ourselves here. So this is for you. It's not about how to change your partner. It's about how to change you so that maybe you can respond differently to your partner. So we have to be open and honest. Disclaimer, we are not marriage counselors. We are not experts in this area. We are here to share our experience, strength, and hope on how we use the traditions in our relationship and how that works for us, right? So, and then we also challenge you that if there is something, we're going to, again, come from our perspective. So if we say something that you are like, maybe some of these other things, but that one, like if something kind of hits your button, we challenge you to look at that, right? Because I don't know about you, but when I hear some truth into my life and I bristle about it, it's typically because there is some truth there, and it's something that I need to look at, and I just need to dig a little bit deeper, okay? So please just keep open-minded in mind with that.
So we are on this journey with you. We expect to be hearing some things today and learning some things today as we go through the program together. There was a couple that was on the circuit for many, many years, Dave and Polly Pistol. You may have heard of them. And of course, Dave is in that big meeting Sky today, and Polly and I have had a discussion that she gave us her material, asked us to use it with her blessing. We've done that, incorporated it. So there's so much material that we have we could not possibly cover in 90 minutes. But what we've done is we synergize things together so we do have a presentation in that time slot, and we have things that are available to you. If you see contact information on the top of your handout, we could email you some other materials if you'd like. If you're old enough to have driven here, then you're old enough to know that men's and women's minds work differently. And we have a very funny video we'd like to share with you on the email. If you send it to us, we'll send that to you. But David Polly used to talk about waffles and spaghetti. And let me break that down a little bit. For a man, I think in isolated boxes. When I have my mind in my work box, please don't talk to me about the car box. I'm in my work box. I think very concretely and very isolated in that respect. And all of my thinking is very focused. Now, women, they can think of everything simultaneously. So if you picture the waffle and the spaghetti, waffle has compartments or boxes, and spaghetti is all run together, and everything's touching. So they're thinking about, their hairstylist and the car needs to be has a oil change in the yard, and what her husband is wearing at this particular moment, and the kids, and everything else is going simultaneously. And I've heard it said it just sounds like a plug going on in a woman's brain. Now, there's a part of the man's brain that women can't cannot comprehend. So I understand that going in. It's a box that we call the nothing box. Now, this nothing box is where men go and we can just do nothing. You may have seen someone fishing for hours and hours, and maybe they'll catch fish. They're in their nothing box. Sometimes you can sit by a lakeside and just look at the lake. TJ came into the living room the other day. I was in my nothing box, minding my own business. And I heard her say, "You haven't been listening to a thing I said, have you?" And I thought, that's an odd way to start a conversation. So, as you know, probably women hate to see a man do nothing. So when we're in that nothing box, that's exactly what we're doing. You know very well. So with that going into this, we do think differently. And I don't know why God made us that way, but he did. And maybe so we need his help to come together into relationship. But I'll tell you that we're, like TJ said, we're not counselors and we're not professionals here. But God has blessed us with a miraculous relationship. And we want to share with you the things that we've done and implemented through studying the material from the epistles and other places that we've put this stuff together for you. And it's incredible. With the proper tools, you can get the job done better. And I think with the proper relationship tools, we can get our relationships working better. All of us can, no matter how long you've been together. We've seen that. So with that, I think we're ready to start jumping in.
So I just want to tell you a little bit about our story and how we met. So Ron and I were one of those, again, AA stories, that boy meets girl on AA campus. As he said, we met in a place in Valerico, Florida, called Our Place. It's a club, it's an AA club. And we met, and I would love to tell you that we did everything slow, and we thought things through.
I tried.
And we made really good decisions, and, you know, getting to know each other really well, you know, before we dove in head first. But you know the old joke, you know, what does an alcoholic bring to the third date? Marriage. So we spent 4 months on the road with each other, and we actually still love each other and we still like each other. So we're doing pretty good. And that's going to bring us to the first tradition. So you guys do have a handout, and as Ron said, we could do a whole day on this information. So we're not going to go through everything.
We're just going to start out by the front page. We're going to recite the third step prayer. We revise a little bit for relationships. And so if we could read that together, and I think that puts us on the same page where we're going to go for the rest of the morning together. And together we pray,
God, I offer my relationship to you. To dwell within and do within as you will. Lead me from bondage of self in my relationship, that I may better do your will. Take away my difficulties in my relationship, that victory over them will bear witness to the forces of your health, your power, your love, and your way of life. May I do your will always.
And then as well on the bottom of that page, there's some other things that that happen serve. You've got love languages and things that we are going to talk about as we go through the traditions, but it's a good resource for you to look in more into some of those things as you go forward. So, but with tradition one, I'm gonna read the AA tradition, and then I'm gonna read the relationship. So AA's tradition one is our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA unity. The relationships tradition one is our common welfare should come first. A healthy relationship depends on our unity. And I like to call this one the United States of Relationships, right? So, you know, the thing about, you know, why is this the first tradition in AA? And it's because the spiritual principle is unity. Without being unified, without having a unified front in recovery in AA, AA would disappear and go away, right? We have to have that unity. That is the foundation to build any relationship, any group on. We have to have a unified goal and a unified purpose. And it's the same thing with our relationships, right? So, just as there's one program of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's what is written in the pages I through 164. So just as that is our unified program in AA, you and your partner need to have a unified program of life, right? We need to have shared goals, shared values, morals, ideas of what we think, you know, our lives should look like. And that needs to be unified into one program of our relationship. Unity means, two become one, right, in a relationship. So it's no longer me and you, it's us, it's our. You know, when I have conversations with people and Lauren and I, we are home, you know, we have things that, you know, but I talk about our things. It's not my things, it's not his things, it's our things, right? So two become one. And that includes our money. If you are in a monogamous, committed relationship, you know, we can't select what we become one in. We become one in every single area of our lives, including our finances. And I will challenge those of you who aren't in that, is that because, and I get that, because I was in relationships where I was like, I'm not commingling that with you, right? And why didn't I want to commingle that with them? Because I don't trust, right? And I got one foot out the door, because just in case you don't behave the way that I think you should behave, I got a plan B. I got an out, right? With Ron and I, there's no plan B, right? When we did our marriage vows, you know, our marriage vows sounded something like for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in good times and bad, till death do we part. That was what our marriage vows sounded like, and I think probably some of you have said it the same. It didn't say, as long as you make me happy, as long as you behave the way I think you should, right? So we become unified in that there's no plan B, which means that we have to have, we're going to save questions for later, so just hold on to them. Write them down if you do have questions. I got a hand back there. So if you have any questions, write them down, and we'll save those for later, okay? And that means that we have to have mature and healthy conflict resolution. You know, because guess what? If anybody's ever been in a relationship, what's going to happen? You got to fight. I don't care who you are. And as I said, Ron and I, we rarely fight. We really rarely do. Even to this day, we rarely fight. But we've had some conversations. If you know what I mean, you know. But we have to have the true conflict resolution. And so we have some rules. The first rule is there's no D-bombs, right? There's no threats of divorce. There's no threats of leaving. We don't call each other names, you know. And there's a couple things that go a long way, sentences that go a long way. And the first one is, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I'm going to try my best not to do that again, right? And we learn how to be curious and not critical. Because you know what? Like, he's my safe place. He's my sanctuary. He's my home, right? There's nobody who loves me more than him. So if I have a conflict with him, most of the time it's maybe I don't have all the information that I need to have. Maybe I'm not understanding something that's going on. You know, or his perspective. So I need to be open to that, to gain information and then make an opinion and then be able to talk about that in a mature, healthy, kind, loving, and respectful manner. So then we have some questions for later reflection, and I'm just going to kind of throw a couple of them out there just so you can see. But what we do recommend is that if you are in a relationship, that you sit down with your partner and ask each other these questions, and then give each other permission to honestly answer those questions for you without being combative, you know, and defensive in that. So, one of them is, you know, what am I willing to sacrifice for my relationship? You know, am I a giver or a taker in my relationship? Do I do unifying things, or am I quick to criticize and slow to pray? And then another one that I have written in there is, does my partner think I'm a good partner? You know, because it doesn't matter what I think, it matters what he thinks in there. And there's lots of other questions with that.
So moving to tradition two, one of the first things that TJ and I established in our relationship was that we were going to come third. God came first, recovery second. Recovery first, God second, and then we came third. And we kept that priority, and then things have worked really well, and we trust each other. Tradition 2 of AA says, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Relationships, Tradition 2 says, for our relationship, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself to us. Neither of us govern the relationship. We are equal servants to each other. There's no head of our marriage except for God. We are equal partners in that. I've read recently that over half of the marriages that are consummated fail in America today. Then I read an article that those people that are churchgoers, it's less, a little bit less. But those couples that pray together on a regular basis, they don't get divorced nearly as often, and it hardly ever happens. So we make a practice, and I can't say that we do every single day together, but most days we start with a devotion and prayer together, and we do that, we really develop the trust. So TJ hit some of the high points of trust in our unifying statement as well. But neither of us speak for the other in our relationship, we respect each other. She has her own opinion, I have mine. We often will check with each other, as she said, you know, how am I doing? Can I do things better? Now, when we have that conversation, I usually bring a pad and pencil for taking notes. There's not much I can give her that she can do better because she's just a blessing. And, I say that purely because tonight's date night. I want you to try this in prayer. God, treat me tomorrow the way I treat my partner today. Think about that as you go about your business today and how you treat. Isn't it odd that the people we care about the most, oftentimes, we tend to treat the worst? They see the worst side of us sometimes. And I never want to stop courting my wife. I never want to stop romancing my wife. I think that's important. And the trust that we've developed, let me ask a couple of these questions that PJ pointed to that. Out the little handout we have of the triangle, you see that? If you look at that triangle in the daily walk, if you're seeking a closer spiritual connection with God and your partner is doing the same thing, this triangle shows that you will inevitably move closer together in that relationship. So, do I do my share around the house? Can TJ trust that I'm going to be responsible? We have financial agreements, we'll get to that a little bit more, that we try not to break. I broke one just the other day. And it was early morning, I'm an early riser, and I'm up for several hours before she gets up, and I made a purchase decision. We have a rule that we don't go over a certain dollar amount. It's not because I need permission, it's because we're partners. And I made an impetuous decision, which is my way, and I had to backtrack on that. And I was willing to do that because my ego is not nearly as important as our relationship. So that's part of the trust.
Just a couple questions and traditions. Do I insist on being the leader? Do I feel that it is my place to govern? Do we strive for equity? Do I speak for my partner without consulting him or her? Do I criticize my partner, especially in public? There's nothing sadder than I see is sometimes when y'all, especially at GA meetings, sometimes people are publicly criticizing their partner. Right? There's things that should be shared in the meeting and things that are shared in the monitor, right? Am I absolutely trustworthy? So. Tradition 3, the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. Relationship tradition 3 is a key requirement for a good and healthy relationship is a mutual desire to make it work. And as I said before, we have no plan B, right? So we're in, and you know, I have to tell you that is one of the most secure things that I have in my relationship. Like, I know that even though we may have struggles, we may have a problem, he's not going anywhere. And if you look on the first page of that handout, we talk about men's needs and women's needs, right? So men have a mega need, which is honor and respect. That's their first need that we have. But women's mega need is security, right? So for me, knowing that, oh my goodness, I better not say this. Oh my goodness, even if I make a mistake, oh my goodness, he's going to leave me. He's going to leave me. And also, especially too, I have some financial security because I blew my life up really because being a raging alcoholic, right? So I had spent all my savings and money and came into AA like $70,000 in debt. So financial security insecurity is an issue for me. So, you know, he leaves and what's that going to mean, right? So it's very secure to know that he's not going anywhere and we can work things through. But the first bullet point is gratitude for your partner for keeping your desires together. And think about what's the biggest risk for your recovery when you have time. think about anybody that you see that's been in a room to Alcoholics Anonymous that has some time in recovery, and you see them go out, and then they eventually come back because they're beat up from the feet up, right? And you say, hey, what happened? The story is the same every single time. They do the slow fade from the program. They become complacent, right? They take things for granted. They get these big, beautiful lives. Right, and then they give up the very thing that gave it to them. Right, it's the same thing with relationships. When I begin to take Ron for granted, right, and then it's all about me, and not about me being a good wife for him, right? Then I take him for granted, and that's when problems start to arise. Right, I'm willing to work on myself to improve me in the relationship. Right. And I am willing to go to any length to change any behavior that is a hindrance to maintaining a healthy and happy relationship. You know, I heard one time they said this couple that prays together, and the couple says, you know, we ask each other, how can I pray for you today? You know, am I a good wife? How can I be a better wife? Is there anything that I'm doing that you're not happy with? Is there anything more that I could be doing to better serve you? And on that first handout, we had the acronym SERVE because, you know, relationships are brutal on selfish people. Mm-hmm. What's our main problem as an alcoholic?
Selfish.
Selfish and self-centered, man, right? It's all about me. I need to have a servant's heart. And so just as service is important in the program of recovery, it's super important in our relationship, you know? So when you have two servants in a relationship looking to serve each other, that's when a healthy relationship happens. When you have two selfish people, we all know where that ends. Right? So, couple questions on tradition three. Do my actions say that I have a desire to be in a relationship? My husband says that sometimes I hear him say, I'm sorry I can't hear you because you're walking too loud. Right? So am I proclaiming something but my actions don't match my words? Right? He doesn't say that to me. Do I set myself up as a judge for my partner's intentions and sincerity? Do I judge my partner in anything? And do I approach my marriage or poor relationship unselfishly? Do I depend on my partner's language, looks, race, education, age, appearance, job, or other things for my own selfish esteem?
Tradition 4. You know, selfishness and self-centeredness, that is our main problem, right? Last night I was working at a fifth step with Sponsee, and he said, you know, I just need to learn to love myself. And using all the sage advice that I acquired after some 3 decades of sobriety, I said, shut up. So tradition 4. Each group can be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. I have relationships tradition 4. Each partner should be autonomous except in matters affecting the other partner, the family, or relationship as a whole. Mm-hmm. Now, both TJ and I have things we do that we just do. We're autonomous. We have that privilege to do. She was out with the ladies last night and having a seafood dinner, and I go mountain biking and have sporting things that I do separately. But there's nothing that I will do that will adversely affect her life. When I go mountain biking and I'm by myself and I'm out on those trails, I stop every 30 minutes and text her and let her know I'm still alive. And she appreciates that. That just takes a moment to do. And it's not because I have to, but because I want to. Now, we want to have our behaviors be in line with our common purpose, our unity, to make the relationship work, and to do whatever is necessary to achieve that. I don't find that to be a chore. Because when we're unified and we feel a closeness in our spirit, and I want that for everyone that's in a relationship. But that kind of, I believe, God-centered connectedness is only a gift from God. And it's not because we're special. It's because God is special. When we we disagree with, then we disagree with respect. There's not any, I don't know a better human being in this world than the one I'm married to. And I don't know why God graced me with that, but I feel like I have the best wife on the planet. And guys, I hope you think the same thing about yours. But I respect her, and I respect her decision making. I respect her thinking. I don't always agree with it. But when I disagree, we disagree respectfully. So there's some questions that I think put us on point. And these are questions. What we suggest people do is take one tradition at a time. You know, it's better to do this with like marksman precision rather than a shotgun blast. And just take one tradition a weekend or something with your partner. And ask these questions and talk about them and dig into them with each other. Do I feel like there are only certain ways to do things? And are they my ways? And do I insist on doing it? You know, if you live in a home with somebody, there's going to be some differences. I heard TJ sharing with her sponsor one time, because I have an office at home, and she's talking to her sponsor. She says, see, that's how he leaves that towel in the kitchen sink every time. Well, I just drop a hand and throw the towel. I don't anymore. I fold the towel now and put it there. It takes 2 seconds. I did time that. And it's not that done. And so I didn't know it was bothering. And when I heard that, I wanted, you know what? Unity is more important than just being right about something. Do I always think about how or if my decisions will affect my partner? I told you an incident just the other morning. Guys get Amazon amnesia at your home?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I'm the only one ordering. I still forget.
So I realized that I did something that went against our financial plan, and I had to back that up. So we returned. I was able to cancel those items. Do I carefully avoid injuring my partner emotionally, physically, or spiritually? Mm-hmm. You know, in my youth years, I remember the look in the eyes of the people that I love the most in the world and how I had hurt them. That's not a look I ever want to see again. And I'm so glad to tell you that it's a look I have not seen in TJ's eyes. And I want to guard that. We have a blemishless relationship. We don't have these big injuries that we have to overcome. Now, if you do, you can get through those. But I'm gonna practice my behaviors today in a way that's not gonna bring any. I'm gonna treat her today the way I want God to treat me tomorrow, like that prayer said. How do I deal with my partner's anger regarding something I've done through my autonomy? Now, we have a boat. I love to fish. I'm not good, but I'm enthusiastic, and I love to be out in the water. That's my happy place. So is being out in the woods on my mountain bike. But I can do those things to excess where it takes our time away. We own a business, we run a legal services company, and for me that's pretty cool because from my background I used to run illegal services companies. So you can believe that the change in recovery can do that. But we stay really busy. And so our free time is important. And I don't want to spend all of my free time away from the person that I cherish most. So I just want to keep that in reference. That's one of the things I asked her, you know, am I doing too much of this and such. So we'll move on to 5.
Okay, traditions 5. AA tradition 5 is each group has but one primary focus, carrying a message to the other suffers. The relationship tradition 5 is each relationship has but one primary purpose, to love and serve each other as an expression of God's love in our relationship. And so in order to serve as an expression of God's love, we need to understand that God loves us unconditionally, faults and all, right? I don't know about you guys, but I know sometimes I can be a little judgmental, I can be a little critical, and you know, as an alcoholic who's selfish and self-centered, I can, you know, if you ever hear about the 80-20 rule, right? So, you know, there you may look at a situation and 80% of that situation is good, it's healthy, it's loving, it's wonderful, and 20% maybe you change some things, right? But what do we focus on? The 20%, right? You know, and my first sponsor used to tell me a saying, and she said, TJ, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, right? We have a disease of perception, right? So I have to change the way I look at things. And don't I want people to have grace for my faults, right? Or when I make a mistake, or for when I misspeak, don't I want grace for that? Am I willing to extend that same grace in my most important relationship? And I love Ron. He's absolutely wonderful, but he's not perfect, and certainly nor am I. So we take it all, right? And good times and bad, all of the stuff. I like to go down. What is love, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth, right? That is probably spoken at most marriages, right? One of the most common things, most common readings that people will do at the marriage. They talk about what is love, right? Does your relationship emulate those things? Is it a reflection of those things here? You know, and we talked about complacency for a minute, and, you know, love is much more than just a mere emotion. Right? It's much more, it's an action. It's what we do. You know, and I heard one of the marriage counselors that I listen to, and I do listen to a marriage counselor, and it's not because I need a marriage counselor, it's because I want a healthy marriage. Right? So I, just as I do things to learn about recovery, I learn about the things that are important to me, right? But this marriage counselor was saying that, you know, this is what he hears most of the time. He hears, you know, a couple come in, and one of them will say, I just don't love them anymore. Mm-hmm. We've fallen out of love. We've grown apart. And his answer is always, well, then go home and love them. Love is an action. It's what we do. It's not just what we feel. And when we do the actions, what comes? Right? The feelings come, you know? So we need to be able to do that. And just as, in fact, both love and service are action words, both require actions and can sometimes be inconvenient, right? And they require work, but the payoffs are huge and well worth the effort. So, questions for later discussion. Do we have a primary purpose, and do we know what it is? This is something that you should... You know, because every couple's relationship and their primary purpose is going to be different. Do I resort to emotional blackmail? Do I ever start sentences with a phrase, if you loved me, you would? Or, I wouldn't have done that if you didn't do this. Do I demand precise equality? And if so, do I not monitor my share as closely as I do his? And guess what? When you're in a relationship, it ain't 50-50. You know, sometimes it's 20-80. Sometimes it's the opposite, right? You know, sometimes it is 50. Sometimes it's 120-0. Or vice versa. You know, it's, you know, and thank God, and that's how God works in our lives, right? When one of us is spiritually unfit, thankfully, the other one tends to be spiritually fit, right? And we can balance one another, and that's what makes it work. We are a team. It's not a I, it's a we.
I think the last time we were both spiritually unfit, we ended up with a new RV.
Yeah, probably.
Tradition 6, solidarity. An AA group called Never Endorse, Finance, or Lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Let problems of money, property, and prestige defer. single-handedly endorse, finance, or lend our name to any outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our commitment to each other. You know, it's not a contest on who makes the most money or who makes the most decisions. We are equal. And I remember an old theologian who had a quote that just stuck with me. His name was Matthew Henry. And he said that women were not made from the head of man to rule over him, nor was she made from the foot of man to be trodden over by him. She was made from the rib of man to walk beside him in equality, close to his heart to be loved, and under his arm to be protected. And I think that defines our roles pretty well. We are equals, although we may have different roles. But I won't make a decision that's going to affect our life without us talking about it. We currently have one of my sponsees living in the RV next to the house, and he's renting it for a while while he's making a transition in life. We talked about that. We made a decision. Not my RV, and I don't run this. You know, I've heard that from some men, that they feel like they need to assert dominance. And I'll share with you that I don't think that, well, I'll tell you that I don't think that works on a redheaded Jersey girl. But it doesn't work here, and I wouldn't try to do that because I really do see her as my equal. So we do not seek permission from our partner. Rather, we apply consideration and respect to the other before we make a decision. I remember one time she was meeting with a sponsee in the living room, and I was walking out, and I said, I'm going to run and do this errand. I think I'm going to stop for lunch, whatever, you know. Just, and I walked out, and the sponsee asked her, did he just ask permission? And her response was, no, we share a life together, and he wanted to make sure I didn't have plans for tonight that he was going to mess up. It's just consideration. It never dawned on me that I was asking permission, neither did it to her. But we're equals in this relationship. Doesn't mean we're codependent. We're not saying that all my decisions have to be run by her. We are autonomous, as we talked about previously in one of the other traditions. So, a couple questions to ask each other. And I saw a couple folks just come in and welcome. We're on tradition 6 in your booklet. We're just wrapping that up. We're going to try to go in till about 12:30. We're halfway through, so we're doing well. And then we'll break for lunch. We're going to have some questions the last 20-30 minutes, and we'll, if you have any questions, just jot them down. And if we don't know the answer, my sponsor is here, and we'll consult with him. Okay. So here's a couple of questions that we can ask ourselves. Do I seek others' approval before the approval of my partner? Interesting. Do I keep secrets from my partner regarding outside issues, money, commitments, friendships, social media? I'll tell you that this phone is open to her. She has a password. Her phone is open to me. I hear couples say that's crazy. There's no areas of my life that's not accessible to my wife. None. And I need to keep it that way, in my opinion. I don't have a secret bank account or a secret credit card. We keep a little cash on us, but we don't do so well with cash, so we limit that. but we're open with that. We're equals in that. And we're transparent is the word I'm trying to define there. Another question. Do I bring stress and frustration from outside enterprises like work, traffic, family, etc. home to my partner and take my frustration or stress out on them? And here's the deal. I was having a very stressful day yesterday, and she called, and I was in Tampa traffic with my boat, and I was trying to navigate in inner city Tampa. And somehow I ended up at the hood, so I'm envisioning myself walking home in my underwear. And in a big city, you might understand that. And she called. And a two-minute conversation, the stress was so much relieved, I felt so much better. Not because she picked it up off me, but because I shared it. Together, we can carry a much bigger load than we can do alone. That's the kind of stuff. Now, it's okay for me to gripe and bring these issues home, and that's where I'm welcome to vent. But the difference is I'm not going to take it out on her. I'm going to share it with her.
time here, but I want to explain it to you so it's a tool that you can use in your relationship. Typically, we take a break and we do a 30-second hug, but you know us alcoholics, when we disperse, sometimes it's hard to re-wrangle you. I call it, it's like herding cats, right? So we're not going to do that because we need to kind of keep things moving. But we do, every morning, Ron, as he said, he's normally up at like 4 o'clock and I am not. And so he's up for a couple hours before me, and when I get up and we say good morning, we do a 30-second hug. Now, if you've never done a 30-second hug with somebody, you know, and if it's not somebody that you're in a love relationship, don't do that. With the person that you're in a relationship with, do a 30-second hug. Because what does a hug symbolize, right? A hug symbolizes welcome, love, acceptance, right? And then you get that physical connection. And it's super important. So we do a 30-second hug at least once a day, if not more. You know, sometimes one of us will just come up and be like, I need a hug, you know? And it melts away the stress of the day, and it gives you that intimate connection that we all need. So please use that.
There's actually read recently a hug like that. There's a hormonal change, real physiological benefit. And your body produces hormones that is just calming. And it really, really works. It's also a great barometer of how you're doing in your relationship. If you're feeling distant, you have some secrets, some things are going on, it's very revealing. And lastly, just a warning, if you try to hug someone that you don't know for 30 seconds, they do call that false imprisonment. So be careful.
Why did you know me? Oh, yeah, that didn't happen. one of us is not necessary. Right? So we have different strengths and weaknesses, and that's a good thing. So, questions for later discussion. Does being in a relationship with my partner make my life better or worse? Right? He is the greatest gift in my life. I'm so grateful, you know, to be married to him and to have the relationship that we have. He enhances my life greatly in so many areas. Do I accept responsibility for myself? Can I admit to my innermost self that my problems are of my own making? Do I try and manage and control through the first string? Am I managed and controlled by the first string? Can I point to at least one thing right now that determines the degree of healthy independence that we have? And so we, you know, there's a huge difference between codependence and interdependence, right? I think we all know what codependence is. I mean, he's not responsible for my happiness, right? You know, but we act as one unified unit. It's the same relationship with our relationship with God, right? It's that spiritual axiom that we talk about, that when I am dependent on God, right, that's when I really gain my independence.
Tradition 8. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special relationships. Tradition 8. Our relationship should remain forever equal and free. Neither of us is the boss of the relationship. And the spiritual principle for this tradition is fellowship. Like I said earlier, we're equals. We see each other as equals, and we treat each other as equals. A couple points I want to make. We do have some organization in our house. There are certain things that I do, certain things that TJ does, and it's not because they're our jobs, but we do seek to serve each other. That's part of what we're hoping to do. I take care of the outside. I cut the grass and do the around the house. And it's a big yard, and it's kind of, but it does a lot of the inside. We had a vacuum cleaner, for instance, for over a year before, and I pulled it out, and I had to figure out how to turn it on.
Yeah.
You know? And she was making fun of me. I said, well, go start the lawnmower. Point made, right? And it's not because we can't do those things. We don't have any you know, certain assignments. But when I'm cutting the grass, I'm not a professional landscaper. I do a pretty good job, and I like what we do, and for a lot of years, I didn't have a yard, so I value cutting the grass, and she does a great job in the house, but I also help with the laundry and the dishes. There's nothing wrong with that. She still thinks that her car has a bottomless gas tank, and that just keeps going, because I take care of filling the gas, and part of that is I work in the criminal law field, and I see terrible things happen, and gas stations are one of the places where those terrible things happen. And I don't want her to ever be at risk. It's just something I feel responsible as a man in relationship to protect her from those things. It's a little bit, right?
I call it my magic car.
Yeah.
Isn't it just magically filled up with gifts?
So
and it's clean, too.
What we give in our relationship, that's we funny. Will get back. There is a spiritual principle, and it's a principle that I found to be true, that every time it's applied, it seems to work out. Whatever you sow, you will reap. If I sow service, love, and respect into my relationship, what I'm going to get back. And it seems to work very well. Unconditional love in a healthy relationship helps to remove the self-centeredness, which is the biggest barrier in our relationship. And I only get that by being close to God and making that a priority of my life through my recovery to stay plugged into the power source. You know, this microphone works because it's plugged in to the power source. If I, as a recovered alcoholic, remain plugged in to the power source, I will continue to recover. If I get unplugged from the power source, just like unplugging this microphone, it'll be useless. It might look okay for a while, but it's not functional. Neither will I be. So some of the questions for discussion. Do I try to sound like an expert at things? Well, it is a program of honesty, isn't it? I tend to do that. If so, why do I need to do that? And it's simply because of my ego. I'm not an expert on all things. Is my security at risk? Is my fear being triggered? How does my ego feel threatened? Things that I can ask myself when those things are going on. Do I try to understand my partner's position on things and her views on things? I have a deal where I've called TJ a few times. I like extreme sports, but I just want you to know in advance I'm okay. And she knows that usually means I'm in the ER and my life-sustaining injuries have been stabilized and that kind of thing. But once I was on a jet ski that ran out of gas in Tampa Bay, and I was drifting into the shipping plane with no lights and getting dark, and she had to call the Coast Guard. That's interesting. That's the kind of things I get myself. So does my identity and feelings of self-worth depend on my relationship with my partner? That's a troublesome, isn't it? Identity and value should be determined by God alone, is what I've come to believe. There's a lot of questions on that one, and then things, here's one I like. Do I feel that my partner belongs to me? You know, that could be a trigger, couldn't it? Now, she's not my possession. I have the blessing of sharing life with her. And again, being equals in relationships is important to keep it up.
Tradition 9, AA tradition is AA as such, whatever we organize, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. The relationship tradition 9 is all relationships should be flexible in its organization, but our group conscience may appoint certain persons to be responsible to various functions. Right? So we have different roles. Again, it's part of the we, right? The unified front. Ron mentioned that, you know, typically, you know, we'll take care of different things. Like, we make a really good team. You know, and for example, I told you that we RV for the summer and our the things that we establish in our home, our brick and mortar home, we kind of bring on the road with us. So he tends to take care of the outside of the stuff in the RV. I take care of the inside. There's a lot of moving parts when you want to be. You have to set things up and break things down and tie things down and do all sorts of things. But you know, and so he does it, he does his, and I go and I do ours, and it works really, really well together. So we have different services, you know, we have different responsibilities that we do. And there is some overlap between 8 and 9 of this workshop. The difference is Tradition 8 deals with the non-professional, while Tradition 9 focuses on organization, right? So how we make our homes work. And because, you know, anybody that has a house or responsibilities and job, like, you know, there's responsibilities that need to be done, right? Things have to be done. They need to be taken care of. They need to be fed. They need to have clean clothes. They need to get to school. They need to be picked up. They, you know, you have events. You have blah, 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 right? There's a lot of stuff going on. And so flexible organization requires effective communication so that everybody understands what their responsibilities are. Like, it would be a problem. Say, for example, you have kids and somebody was supposed to pick them up from school, but you didn't communicate who was going to do that, and they're standing out on the curb, and nobody picks them up because you thought he was doing it, she thought you were doing it, and, you know, that's a problem. So we've got to have that effective communication. And then the consequences of deciding to ignore those agreed-upon duties in the home is reduced unity, reduced peace, reduced happiness in the relationship. So we have to have clear expectations, because what are expectations? Future resentments, right? So we want to make sure that we're clear in that. We may designate tasks on how each of us may serve each other in the relationship, but neither one of us rules over the other in our organization. It must remain flexible. So we talked about both having a servant's work. How may I serve you better? Why not? We try to not serve each other. You know, and it's not about me, it's what can I do for you today? You know, what can I do for you today? And that works. So, you know, marriage and relationships are brutal on selfish people. And a committed relationship will kill you before Lord blesses you. And when I say your kids will kill you, I mean the you, the selfishness of you, right? It's, we have to go from being self-centered to God-centered. And when I am God-centered, you know, in my faith, you know, the greatest commandment is to love God with all my heart, mind, and soul, and to love each other as myself. And guess what? I love me some me. Right? I want people to treat me well. Right? So I need to treat, especially my most important relationship, just as I would treat myself. So, questions for later discussion. Do we divide chores around the house? And how can I better serve my partner? Do I demand certain things from my partner? Right? Do I exercise patience and humility in the things I do for my relationship? Like, what do we say is our code in AA?
Love and tolerance.
Love and tolerance is our code. Do we have love and tolerance for the sick and suffering alcoholic and then you come home and proverbial kick the cat? Right? You know, why don't we give the same love and tolerance to the people who supposedly mean the most to us? Right? When we can do that for our virtual strangers.
Tradition 10. Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the AA name will never be drawn into public controversy. Relationships Tradition 10. We each are entitled to our own opinion on outside issues, hence our name will never be drawn into public controversy, and the spiritual principle is neutrality. Now, we live in a busy world, a lot of distractions, and it's easy to access a lot of information. And that can develop some somewhat controversial opinions, you know, based upon the information we gather. I don't ever want to. She said we didn't get an argument, you know, the first 5 years of our marriage. I must have been in my nothing box that day because I don't remember that. We've had disagreements, but you know, I've never heard her call me a name. I've never called her a name. I don't think we've never yelled at each other. But you know, there has been some. That we have used, so we're not perfect in that respect. We're going to have some differences in opinions, right? I'm not going to go air our dirty laundry and make that a public issue. I'm going to keep that personal and keep that private. We each have a right to disagree about outside issues without being critical or offensive to each other. I know couples who have vastly different political views in our culture today, in our country. That can be a real dividing point. It doesn't have to be. Because if you respect and love your partner the way that God intended us to do, then they're entitled to that opinion. Neither of us carry, quote, our opinion, unquote, around for public display. I have mine, she has hers. And I don't try to speak for her. Always try to be courteous. The very essence of Alcoholics Anonymous and Al-Anon groups is treating others, all others, with patience, tolerance, courtesy, and kindness. Quiet, composed response typically turns away anger. TJ talked about it a little while ago, you know, love is an action, not a feeling. It's kind of like faith, isn't it? I don't know if you're a person of faith, but people have talked about developing our faith through prayer and meditation, step 11. And I can tell you that a person of, I am a person of faith. I don't always feel my faith, but I'm called to walk in my faith. And so there's been times when I've faced, you know, had some health problems, and laying, dying on a gurney, and I was facing death, and I didn't feel, you know, like a pep rally church service where I was jumping up and down and hooting and hollering and feeling my faith. But instead, I felt peaceful because I had faith. There are times when I was looking at business situations and I felt fear and so forth, but I still acted in faith. If I get to the point that I'm not feeling the love for my wife, that's when I go home and I act with loving kindness towards my wife. And it's the same thing with the faith. You're not always going to feel it. Sometimes it's a verb and rather than a feeling. So here's the question. Would my partner say that I love them well I think it's good to ask your partner that. And if not, how can I improve? Another one, does either of us have emotional scars from repeated, heated controversy and struggles for power and control? Those things can be healed, and we can change and grow. While we're together, here's a good one. Do I spend more time on my phone than talking to my partner? Let me set up a picture for you to all see. It's a nice restaurant. It's an evening, and a couple is out for a date. And you look over at the table, and they have a nice table set up, and it's a beautiful restaurant, and both of them are. Are you on a date with your partner or with your phone? Suggestion, leave the phone in the car. Put it in your purse or your back pocket. Put it away and focus. And we do the same thing at home sometimes. You know, so we try to have that time together to prioritize each other and feel special because we are special to each other.
All right, tradition 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. In our relationship, tradition 11 is we attract our partner in our relationship by loving them rather than by promoting ourselves by coercion, manipulation, or force. We maintain personal anonymity in our relationship by keeping our partner's confidence and trust. And our spiritual principle here is anonymity. It is my responsibility to be my very best, my most attractive partner for them, right? And I'm not talking about just the outward appearance, right? You know, because, you know, guess what? When, you know, especially if you've been together with somebody for, you know, if you met when you were young and hot, and, you know, firm and things were in their places, and, you know, and then, you know, we get older and things tend to shift and fade and you know, a couple more pounds come on and we get sick or, you know what I mean? Like life is messy, life is hard sometimes. However, it is my responsibility that through all of that, that I try and be as attractive as I can to Ron. And that's not just, again, the physical attraction, is where is our connection? Are we emotionally connected? Are we intimate, right? And I'm not even just talking about physical intimacy, which I know that men would really like to talk about physical intimacy, which reminds me on the Meg the Needs, right? So one of men's Megan Needs is physical intimacy, but one of women's Megan Needs is more emotional intimacy, and we need to have that emotional connection, guys, before we, you know, want to have the physical connection, right? So we need to understand that both with each other. So, but how do we maintain that intimacy? And I will tell you, Ron mentioned that we do most mornings do a devotion together and we pray together each morning. You know, we have the same conception of God. God is extremely important, that triangle work, we're always working to grow closer to God, and then the net result of that is that as we each grow closer to God, we inevitably get closer to one another, and we have that attraction and that connection to one another. We talked about complacency and taking each other for granted are huge risks in a relationship and will lessen the attraction. You know, we never stop dating. You know, I mean, your mom joked before and said we have a date night tonight, but we haven't even dated. You know, and it's really important too that you do those things. I know sometimes that can seem like not spontaneous or not personal, but you know, like we have a really busy life. We got a lot of moving parts, you know. So and there's sometimes I don't see. Like, and we work together, right? We work together in the same home. And sometimes, like, we don't get to spend time together until, like, Thursday nights of the week, right? You know, so because we have a lot of stuff and we go in different directions. So you have to plan these things. And it might sound like, oh, that's not romantic. You know, it's okay. Do it anyway. And it'll be okay. It'll be romantic. You get that intimate connection and God takes care of the rest. So.
Let's see. This is a huge one. Encourage instead of criticize, right? Remember beforehand I said, you know, be curious, not critical. But here's another one for you. That give each other the ability to complain, but not be critical. Mm-hmm. Right? So when something happens, right, like Ron's my safe space, right? You know, so if I can't talk to him about something, who can I talk to about? You know, but it's okay for me to complain about something, but I can't be like, you did this and you did that. It's like, let's talk about the behavior, you know, or and the circumstance, but I'm not saying, you know, I can't rely on you, or I can't, you know, don't make it about the other person. So we can complain, but we're not critical of the person. We accept our partner exactly as they are and realize it's not our responsibility or our ability to change them. Some questions for later discussion. You can see this is the difference too between us, right? So I have two sets of notes. Ron has my notes on them, and Ron does not, and Ron just goes. Do I exemplify loving service or compel obedience in my relationship? Is my relationship treated with care in public? Do I think my relationship is attractive to others? That's a big one. You know, I was having a conversation with Chris earlier. We were talking about sponsees, and you know, Ron and I, since we've been home, we have like just an avalanche of problems that we kind of came home to. When you leave your house for 4 months, like you come home and like there's just stuff that has to be dealt with. And we literally have had 13 different problems in the past 2 weeks since we've been home. And it's been overwhelming, like literally overwhelming. But because we're people of faith and because we trust and believe in God and know that He is faithful and He's in the midst of the details of our lives, the way that we respond to that is through faith, not fear, right? You know, and then we said, you know, and I was talking to one of my sponsees, and like they watch us, right? They watch us, they listen to us, you know, and when we don't even realize that people are watching and they're listening, you know, so when people see you interact with your spouse, do they think, oh, they oh, that looks like a nice, healthy relationship, or do they go, I feel sorry for him, you know? You know, so people are watching. So what people say that you have a healthy relationship is it something that people would like to strive to have? And I'll let you tell a story about your mom, who you said once. That was funny.
You know, when TJ is talking about what other people think of our relationship, it's not that we're promoting anything. It's just that we're doing it at home and we're living a life, and that has the results of producing fruit in our life that's attractive to other people. And I hope it's the same thing we do in sobriety. We're not out promoting ourselves. We're not out promoting the program Alcoholics Anonymous. We're living it. And by doing that, we change into people that people are attracted to. The first thing I saw in men's eyes when I came to AA back in 1991 was something I couldn't quantify. I couldn't put a label on it. I didn't understand it. And I now know it as peace. That's priceless. I didn't have that. I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin no matter where I went or what I was doing. So TJ was referring to the man sponsee, and we were having our first sponsee meeting. Those are always interesting, aren't they? So I said, why me? You know? He said, well, you know, I heard in the meetings that when you see someone who has what you want, go get them to be your sponsor. And I felt, yeah. Cool. I like that. And then he went on. He said, when I saw your wife, hold up a minute. That's not what they were talking about. We do try to keep ourselves and keep ourselves attractive to people, right? She's a personal trainer. We built a gym at the house, and she trains people at the house. And I, for one, think she's doing an amazing job with staying beautiful. And so I'm smitten for sure. But tradition 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Relationships predict as well. Anonymity, or selflessness, is the spiritual foundation of our way of life as partners, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Now, we've heard about this. We talked a little bit about the spiritual principles behind the traditions. There's a list on these pages of the spiritual axioms or foundations to every one of the steps, and for time purposes, we won't go over each one of those. But if you work the steps, you'll see those spiritual principles in these steps. And what this embodies is, if you look at your relationship, see if these spiritual principles exist in your relationship. And if you honestly look at your part in this, what can you do better? None of us gets 100% of this stuff, right? We all could be improved, and we all could benefit from some work. So, honesty. Practicing honesty, my relationship will foster trust. Is there hope? Do I provide hope to my spouse, to my partner? How about faith? Am I living a life of faithfulness, both in God as I understand Him, and in my relationship? I want to be known as a faithful and loving husband. Am I exhibiting courage in our relationship? Do I run from issues? I think it's much more courageous to face my shortcomings rather than run from them. Am I a person of integrity? If every crack and corner of my life was under a spotlight, would I be ashamed? Integrity is what we do when nobody else is watching, nobody else we get to see. Willingness. By practicing willingness in my relationship, I will be open to change and compromise. Humility. By practicing humility, I'll never need to be humiliated. It will be more important to be unified than right. I put her needs and her wants before my own, except for my sobriety. I have to put that first. Love. Am I practicing love in my relationship? And that's talking about the action. Discipline. By practicing discipline in my relationship, I will strive to be the best partner I can by practicing all these principles. Perseverance. As we said, there's no plan B. We're in it to win it. And we're not going anywhere. God, however, I got to tell you, when she said, till death do we part, I heard a bit of an emphasis there. Did you hear that? It's a little bit fearful. Raised my life. God consciousness. By practicing this principle in my relationship, I will move towards God in the triangle, or the example there. If both of us are moving towards God, we will get closer. You know, I really believe that a monogamous, loving relationship is designed by God to show us what it's going to be like when we all get to make that journey to the big meeting in the sky. We have that union with God. I think that it's an act of worship when we really are in a loving relationship the way God intended it to be. Because that kind of unity, that kind of being joined, if you've felt it, if you've worked the steps, if you've had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, and you know what I'm talking about, there are times when you feel like you're sitting at the table with God Himself. I've had those experiences that give me goosebumps to talk about it. If you haven't had that experience, I encourage you that is a guarantee of the program Alcoholics Anonymous and the 12 steps. That if you work, if you diligently work those steps, you will have a spiritual awakening sufficient enough to bring a personality change. I'll tell you that when I was in prison as a career criminal, a habitual violent felony offender, where I deserved to be, they had segregated me from the rest of the prison population because they deemed me too dangerous to be with the general population of the murderers, and the bank robbers, and the drug dealers, and all the other people that are in prison. And because of these steps, I had a spiritual awakening sufficient enough to bring about a psychic personality change. At the snap of your fingers, through that experience, I was no longer a criminal, no longer a habitual violent felony offender, and I walked for 20 years in prison as a recovered alcoholic. And I'll tell you, too, that the number of drug tests I had after that spiritual experience tripled what I had before. The because they just knew I had to be high. I was peaceful. I was content. I was even happy. Not with my circumstance, but in that circumstance. That is a gift that only a relationship with God will bring about in your life. And it's available to every single one of us that walks in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous. Don't know where that came from. Assuming somebody needed to hear that, because I couldn't go on without saying that. So, that's a great one. TJ, remind me of an example. What we put into our relationship is what we will get out of our relationship. It's not, we talked about that some. If you picture a big sponge that you use, and you live in your coffee spring, you get those big, on the sponge dock, you get those sponges. If you picture, you take that dry sponge and you put it into a muddy, dirty puddle, and it takes all that water up, and then you squeeze it, what's going to come out? Dirty
water.
If you take a clean sponge, the same clean sponge, and put it in crystal clear water, and it soaks up that water, when you squeeze it, what's going to come out?
Clear water.
So I encourage you to look at your relationship as that sponge. Invest the time and the effort it takes to put clean, fresh, pure, godly things into that sponge, into that relationship. And that's exactly what you're going to get when you squeeze it. It's just the way things are. So questions for later discussion. Why is principles before personalities important in the maintenance and balance of our relationship? Is there a spiritual foundation to our relationship? Have we had a spiritual awakening? One of the saddest things I see is a couple of moving the diagram as an example, and one person is moving closer to God, and the other person is moving in the other direction. They grow apart. That is not something that can't be fixed, but we need to change the direction for one of the people. Do I care if others see every aspect of how I treat my partner? You know, and again, integrity. I want to model to the man that I mentor in the program what it's like to be a good husband. That means I need to be a good husband. And that means I need to be open to correction and to improving, because I could always use improvement. And that's just integrity, isn't it? I think at this point, we're going to open it up for some answers, questions and answers, and discussion.